You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 2, Episode 14, Born Under a Bad Sign. Sam has been committing blackout murder sprees, leaving Dean to decipher whether his brother is possessed or joining the dark side.
Welcome back to IdgitCast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I am at the foot of the Bong Bridge in Superior, Wisconsin, just over the river from, or just over the, yeah, the river, the bay from Duluth. And I have with me, via Skype, down in Elk River, my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hello.
And we also have, down in Texas, John Pavlich.
Greetings.
And we don't have Yvette because she had some vehicular issues.
Bummer.
Yeah. Somebody allegedly backed into her parked car.
Allegedly.
Because, you know, like we're news.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to go incriminating.
Or, yes.
You know, maybe they were having a diabetic issue or...
Well, that aside, they backed into her.
Or a jerky issue. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they were chewing on jerky and trying to get it out of their teeth when they backed out.
That happens, you know?
don't eat and drive.
Don't eat and drive. I do it all the time. Carrot sticks, they're not good, though.
Mm.
Especially if you get a little bit down the back of your throat trying to drive.
There you go.
It's a bad plan. Very bad plan.
Well, if you got in a car accident, they wouldn't know if you were choking or just injured.
I know.
Health tip? Do not purchase baby carrots.
Oh, I know. They've got bleach all over them.
Yeah, chlorine.
That's
why they...
I drank a whole swimming pool when I was a kid. I'm probably just,
That's why they turn white eventually.
Yep. But they don't have mold on them. I think I'm allergic to mold, not chlorine.
The best carrots to buy are the ones with green still on the top, apparently.
Or the ones you dig out of your own garden.
Well, those might still have greens on the top, too.
They might. We used to grow them when I was a kid. They were good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Really sweet.
Wow, how did we get on carrots?
I choke while eating.
Me, I did that.
It was driving issues. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We should get going. We're going to talk about a show. We're missing Yvette. It feels weird without her here.
Yes, it does. And no guests.
No guest either.
I know. That's all right. We got this.
We're on this.
Yeah.
On this. Yeah. On this.
I have some snarky things about this episode. Because I was like, oh, it's getting better. No, wait.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So.
It's opinion spoilers. Let's get going. The episode starts off with lots of jump cutting and audio discontinuity, and directly into the middle of the story, too. Dean is calling Ellen. He hasn't seen Sam for some time. I really like that cutting.
Did you?
And everything. Yeah, I thought it established a pace straight off the bat, and they kept going with that pace.
Well, it was a, hey, nobody knows what's going on deal.
Yes, so. Confusing.
And they carried on with that for quite some time. Nobody knew what was going on.
Yes.
Yes.
But while he's trying to talk to Ellen, his call is interrupted. Sam is finally calling him. Dean tells him to stay put and charges off, and we see Sam for a second with a bloodied hand. Dean is driving toward the mountains, and Twin Lakes is 100 miles away. I'm not sure where Twin Lakes is, but it's probably in the mountains, considering the direction he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
And Supernatural Wiki actually points out that the shot seems to be a repurposed driving shot.
Mm-hmm.
From the Phantom Traveler episode. And if you go to the Supernatural Wiki, which, you know, go for it if you want to, there's a side-by-side screenshot. And for Phantom Traveler, there's the big cloud of smoke in the distance, and it says one thing on the sign, and for this one, it's the exact same framing. It looks like it's probably the exact same shot, and they just have a different name on the different destination on the sign, and there's no smoke.
Mm.
Smoke.
I'm sure they probably added that in digitally.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we can just use the stock footage we have of the car. And
yes. Also, Supernatural Wiki says that that Twin Lakes is in Wisconsin.
Hmm.
So I don't know where those mountains that he was driving toward with 100 miles to go to get to Twin Lakes were. But
in Wisconsin, clearly.
In Wisconsin, the Wisconsin mountains.
Don't they have mountains in Wisconsin?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
They have cheese.
They have lots of cheese.
Yeah.
They have Dells.
They have those some Dells. Mountains. They're not, no. I've never been to the Dells.
I certainly have.
Was it fun?
I've never done the natural part of it at all. I just did the water park. I was a child. Well, I was a teenager or something.
Preteen.
Teenager. Definitely teenager. Okay, so when he finds Sam, Sam has a large amount of someone's blood on his shirt, dried up.
Uh-oh.
And he says he doesn't remember anything.
Hmm.
We go to the title card.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So Sam has worked out that Sam checked in 2 days back into this very fisherman-themed room.
Yeah, they like to fish in Wisconsin, too.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And he's kept to himself enough that nobody's really taken any notice of him. Dean gets Sam to recall what he can, and the last thing Sam remembers is a week back with Dean in Texas, I believe he says. And then he comes around, he remembers coming around in that room, bloody.
Hmm.
They go outside, and Sam looks at a row of garages, and one seems familiar to him, and it turns out he has a key for the padlock in his pocket.
So, did you think that Sam was pretending? Did it feel like he was pretending?
You mean, once I knew that he was pretending, did I think back and think he was pretending, or?
No, at the time, did you think he was pretending? Because I was like, he is pretending, he knows damn well what's in there, that's what I thought.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I thought it could have been a trap, too, was the other thing I thought. It's like, oh, no, Dean, don't do it. It's a trap.
I guess I didn't really think that Sam could still be possessed and acting not possessed instead of just being not possessed.
No, Meg did.
Are you just naturally suspicious of Sam?
I am.
Because of his hair and his bitch face?
Mostly because of the hair. Yes.
Suspicious bangs.
Those aren't bangs. Those are a mess.
or if you're in Britain, a suspicious fringe.
Ooh.
Inside the garage is a 70s or late 60s VW Beagle. Beagle? VW never made a Beagle, and I'm aware of Beetle.
They should have made a Beagle. I totally would have bought that.
Yeah, it could be Darwin-themed.
Yes. Woof. I love Beagles.
Okay.
You know, I was looking at that car. My great-aunt Edna drove a vintage, I have no idea what year, but Volkswagen Beetle, and it looked a lot like that, although I think hers might have been a little bit older.
Yeah, I don't really know how to tell the age. I know that there's like, if it's got a split back window, it's older, I think. Beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't see the window.
They're cool. And what's neat about them is you could actually like take them apart completely and put it back together. And there's like no computers or, I mean, there is now, but it didn't used to be like that. You could just, you know, put it back together.
And I can't remember if it's on the Beetle or if it's just on the van, but some of them are air-cooled engines, too.
Mm, I remember something about, because we had problems with that in Colorado in the summer. You'd always see that people couldn't drive them because it would get really hot in the summer sometimes. So the rest of the year is fine. It does.
It does that, especially.
I like VW bugs.
They are cool.
Yeah.
Although having to ride in the back seat as a teenager is not as much fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the back seat.
Shut up.
it actually makes a better transition than that.
Good.
Speaking of the back.
Oh, that went really wrong. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Speaking of the back seat, there's a bloody knife in the back seat of this one on the floor.
That happens in those cars. Yeah.
If this was a little bit funnier moment instead of hey, there's a bloody knife back there, Dean saying check out the back seat could have had a punchline.
It should have had a punchline. I was expecting one. I was disappointed.
The punchline was a bloody knife. And a half empty pack of menthols in the front seat. And it turns out there's also a gas receipt from a couple of towns away. Now apparently the demon filled the tank and paid for it at the pump, and then went in and stole some beer and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because he had a receipt, so he had to have paid for something, and he didn't pay for anything inside there, so he had to pay at the pump and then steal afterwards. Otherwise, you don't get a receipt. At the gas station, the clerk looks kind of familiar. I'm almost wondering if he's like a minor character double casting.
Maybe.
We don't have to check this, but I know that a lot of shows that film in Vancouver draw from a limited minor casting pool.
Yeah, well, because they have the Canada code.
Yes, there's that too.
Like, yeah, if you shoot in Canada, you are required by law to use a certain amount of Canadians on your production.
Oh, why don't we live in Canada, Paul?
Because we owe a whole lot of money in the United States.
God dang the USA.
Okay.
Sorry. Making us owe all this stuff, like, you know, we didn't buy it.
I, for one, welcome our new ant overlords.
Good for you, John.
The clerk sees Sam and gets ready to call the police directly. It seems that the day before, Sam had stumbled in, chugged part of a 40 and whipped the bottle at the clerk, and then grabbed a pack of menthols, apparently, and started smoking them in the store.
Menthols are gross, aren't they?
But oh, so soothing on your charred lungs.
My mom smokes menthols.
Oh my gosh, they're so gross. My mom smoked them too.
She likes them. She used to put the pack in the freezer.
My mom kept hers in the freezer too. I remember that. But she used to like go buy like the bulk generic ones, like the big, yeah, she'd buy a big carton of them. They were generic, but they still had like a green, because the thing, if it was generic in Colorado, it had to be black and white. I don't know. There's some weird thing. And so, but then it would have just like a green band around it for the menthol.
Yep. That's how you knew it was menthol.
Yeah. She smoked a lot of those.
200 smokes.
More than
Did she also buy beer in a can that just said beer in black and white?
My mom didn't drink beer. However, that was available. And I do remember that my grandpa bought it because he thought it was funny. And it was horrible. And he poured it all down the drain.
That's good.
Yeah.
And a can that says food.
That's
no. We
that's
didn't
how many,
have that.
That's how many cigarettes are in a carton is 200.
Is that how many?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she smoked way more than 200, I'll tell you.
And where is she now?
Well, we're not going to talk about that. That's
okay.
Sad. That part's sad, but you know, it happens.
Yes. Okay. After Dean pays back some of those losses, possibly and then some, the clerk says that Sam went north upon leaving the store.
So they're going north of Twin Lakes. I wonder what's north of Twin Lakes.
I wonder.
I wonder where we're going next.
Well, we're going to a small house out in the country, apparently.
Yes,
they're on the road that night, Sam gets a vibe off of an approaching turnoff, and they turn off at the road.
Don't do it, Dean! Turn back, it's a trap!
It's not a trap.
Well, I thought it could have been.
Okay.
It was a thought that went through my head.
Okay. At the house, they find some high-security motion sensors, lights, cameras, but it does have a disabled alarm system and a broken window. Inside, they find a man's body with his throat slashed.
Uh-oh. How could this have happened?
And Sam says it's clear that how it happened was that he killed him. But Dean is pushing back on this the whole way. He's not ready for that to be true. They do a little bit of looking around, and they discover that the man was a hunter. He had a arsenal and all kinds of zodiac signs and things. It's a real telltale thing.
Big wall of guns.
Wall of guns.
The wall of guns reminded me of the movie Badass.
Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass, that's what I mean. Sorry. Did that remind you of that, too? Did you think that the wall was very similar?
I suppose. Mostly reminded me of the various trunks of our trunk arsenals we've seen.
Yeah, but the wall arsenal is different.
And the arsenal that the guy had in the church.
Where was his? His was like in the crypt or something. Yeah, it was Blue Earth, and it was in the crypt.
Yeah. Downstairs.
Because I don't know that the church in Blue Earth would really have a crypt. But that's like so many episodes ago, I better let that go.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
You can nitpick this one.
I'm real good at that.
And I'm about to nitpick it on this one a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So they look at the security footage on the computer, although it looked a lot like it was tape-based. They see Sam fight the man and then kill him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems pretty clear what happened.
Very clear.
Sam is looking at a letter from his daughter. It says that the guy's name was Steve Wandell. But Dean is busy working on covering their tracks before Wandell's hunter friends can come after them. He smashes the computer, and it doesn't catch fire like a Sunnydale computer might, so...
No.
So he has to just content himself with smashing it. I don't see him take the hard drive.
Really, I know. You always take the hard drive. Duh.
Well, if that's your point. If your point is to cover your tracks, you take the hard drive.
You'd think.
He probably did. He must have taken it off camera.
I mean, what kind of crook is he? It's like he tried to back a car out of a driveway in neutral and then tried to push start it, but realized it was an automatic and then leave his wallet in the car. I mean, how does that happen?
That's oddly specific, Darcy.
Yes, it is. There's some really good criminals out there. I'm just saying.
All right. But he does have Sam wipe up all his prints.
But does he? It's like when I say, Iris, go clean the whatever. And she just kind of looks at me and doesn't do it. I kind of felt like that's what Sam was doing. I got very angry with him and I wanted to put him in timeout.
Yes, he did seem to be still in shock. Or acting in shock. But we didn't know that yet.
It's all
we
acting.
Didn't know that yet. We didn't know it this. We didn't know it yet.
Yeah, well, I thought at this point that maybe he was okay, but not okay. You know, like,
yeah,
had been possessed, but wasn't at this point. So,
like, in shock.
Yeah.
Back at the motel, Dean figures they can get some sleep for a few hours and then hit the road, but Sam's not ready for it to be that simple.
Oh, he can't do that.
He lays it all out. He committed a murder, but Dean's still clutching for something, maybe a shapeshifter, something like that. But Sam says that over the last few weeks, he's been feeling a unfocused building rage and hate. And he didn't tell Dean, so it didn't freak him out.
Well, you know, I think that was some lies.
So Sam conjectures that it all points to the yellow-eyed demon's plans for him, that he's gradually turning and losing control.
Yeah.
And Sam forces Dean to make a decision. He places a gun in Dean's hand, and Dean refuses, saying he'd rather die. But Sam says that he'll live to regret it and knocks Dean out with the gun. And leaves. Dean's awakened the next day by the motel manager. It's past checkout, and someone else needs to use the fisherman's room. Something smells fishy about this.
Oh, God, Paul, that's horrible. Oh, boy, did you really just have to do that?
I was 50-50 on whether I'd actually say it.
Oh, I can't believe you said it. If you were here, I'd smack you. You know that.
I'm aware of that. Duh. I just mean they seem a little suspicious. It's 12:30 and Dean's getting charged extra. So Dean pays the manager even more for access to his computer. This episode's really costing Dean some money. He had to pay for extra smokes that probably weren't actually stolen at the convenience store, and now he's got to pay extra for the room and then pay extra for the computer.
Well, you know what I love in that initial scene at the gas station is he grabs like a candy bar or something.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, I know you took more money, so I'm just going to take this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of just, you know, balance out the scales a little bit.
It did balance it out, and it was okay. I was like, Dean didn't steal. No, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. You just got taken for an extra pack of cigarettes that weren't actually taken.
Right.
A lot of taken in that sentence.
Taken,
oh, well.
Taken.
Got a particular set of skills.
Taken.
Saw that coming.
Dean.
What'd Dean do?
He paid the manager even more for access to his computer. Okay. Dean poses as a concerned parent of an insulin-dependent diabetic, Sammy, who is a fan of Justin Timberlake.
Who wouldn't be?
So yes, he's so Dean poses as a parent to the cell phone company and works on activating Sam's GPS.
Yeah, you know, the guy who's sitting there, the manager, I couldn't believe that he wasn't like, you are so full of shit, and like verbally he was just quiet.
Yeah, I would like to have one more line somewhere,
or even
at the end.
Even a look of what the hell, you're so full of poo.
All the money he was counting, he did not care.
That's a lot of money just to use the computer.
Well, yeah. You know, you could buy a computer for that.
Given the previous scene, it's clear that guy does not ask questions. As long as he gets paid, he's totally fine.
Well, I suppose. You know, the governor and his lady friend. I don't know that was a governor. I assumed it was a politician.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, I see.
That's how I am. I assume that's what politicians do.
Oh, my turn.
Yeah, it's so quiet. Why is it? Shh.
And it turns out that Sam is in the Zenith City, the air-conditioned city, in the vicinity of the Bong Bridge. He's in Duluth, Minnesota.
No, he's not.
Why Duluth? Because that's where Joe is.
What's she doing there, of all places?
Tending bar.
Does she really tend bar there, Paul?
She apparently is tending bar.
Have you seen her?
Well, you know what cracks me up about that is that it's like she was tending bar at the Roadhouse with her mom.
She ran away.
She ran away so she could go tend bar somewhere else.
You do what you know. You do what you know, John.
Hmm.
Yeah.
She's apparently not working on hunting. She's just tending bar because there's no note of what her she should have a webisode for this.
You think?
Joe hunting in Duluth.
I don't know. She's probably not. There's not much to hunt in Duluth, is there? Apparently loons.
Apparently there's loons on Lake Superior.
No, there are not.
Not so much. There's seagulls.
Yeah, lots of seagulls. They'll steal
mine,
your donut
mine,
if you're
mine,
not careful.
Mine.
Yeah, they'll eat your donut.
Yeah, I haven't heard any loon calls yet.
No.
Here.
Well, I mean, they go to the smaller lakes, don't they? They
yeah,
don't go in the
course.
Big lake like that because it's too deep, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, basically they dive for their food. And
then also, I mean, I know that there are some fish in Lake Superior, but there's not that many left, are there? I mean, it's been pretty fished out, hasn't it?
There's still a couple of commercial fisheries, but not a lot. Hmm. Mostly it's excursions like the sign on the wall says.
Right. But not so much, you know, go fishing.
They stock it with salmon, there's smelt, there's lake trout, walleye.
So they do stock it to some degree? I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
How can you stock it? It's huge.
I mean, it's a gradual thing. The salmon that are in there, most, I think one of the species of salmon is non-reproducing. It has to be stocked in all the time.
Oh, wow.
But I think a couple of the other species of salmon in there actually are reproducing. They aren't natural to the lake, but they were, you know, stocked in, and now they reproduce.
Okay.
So that would work.
So I guess there is some loon food there. However, I don't know. I'm still not buying it.
It's the state bird, and if you're looking it up on the Wikipedia before you make an episode, figure out what sound effects you want, it works.
It doesn't work on Lake Superior. There aren't... Okay, never mind.
Okay.
They're in the smaller lakes surrounding, so maybe it was just like a nearby lake.
Also, I haven't been on the working waterfront areas, but I don't know if there's piers like that.
I imagine there's got to be some piers, you know, at least for like the excursions and whatnot. But
yeah, well, I mean, I've seen the marina,
right?
But it's all those, it's all, you know, it's all those like low slips for sailboats and stuff. It's not
right. And then I mean,
and then of course there's the like I said, the working waterfront. There's you know,
well, that's like up in Two Harbors though, where it has like the big, huge.
Oh no, it's here too.
Is it there too?
Oh yeah, no.
I've never seen that part.
They load big ore boats here too.
Okay.
There's ocean going vessels that are smaller.
Uh huh.
And then the ore boats, the lake boats are around 1,000 foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go. And, let's see. I'm thinking never mind. Stop right there, Darcy. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually in town and at the entrance to the Duluth Harbor about, 2 weeks ago when the first ocean-going vessel arrived.
Okay.
After the ice is out, they have to open all of the various canals and stuff, and it takes a little while for the salties, as they call them, to arrive. But I saw the first salty arrive at Duluth Harbor.
They call them salty.
Yes,
that's kind of rude, isn't it?
It's there's two kinds of ships. There's the Lakers and the Salties. The Salties have to be smaller because the Welland Canal that is in the St. Lawrence Seaway to get into the ocean and in and out of the ocean. That canal cannot accommodate the Laker ships.
Okay.
So the Laker boats are you know full on 1,000 foot long boats.
Yeah.
And the ocean ones are smaller.
Oh, okay. So the big full ones, they just, go through the lakes? They don't ever get out to the ocean? That's...
Yeah, they don't need to, because they're taking the taconite pellets and such mm-hmm. to the steel mills.
Well, what's left of those?
And they're taking coal and moving coal around and stuff like that. And then okay. the ocean ones are mostly hauling grain to Europe.
Hmm. I suppose everybody needs grain. That cat is eating really loud. Could you please quiet it down over there? Gosh, crunch.
Oh.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Boatcast.
Boatcast with cat eating in the back.
But anyway, like I said, I haven't been to the working waterfront. I've seen the marina.
There's some boats.
There's boats.
There's some water.
I can't tell for sure if this looks in any way accurate. It probably doesn't, but whatever.
Dean does something.
What's he
do next?
They are in Sam's in Duluth.
Oh,
with Joe.
Sam. Yep, we're still at Sam.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, Sam says that he wants to square things after they parted on a bad note, and Joe takes note of his burned arm, which in no way looks like a hot stove accident, but that's what he says, and Joe lets it go.
Joe doesn't know anything about hunting. She would have totally been onto that if she'd known.
That's a weird symbol on your stove.
My stove doesn't have a burner like that.
Yeah.
That looks kind of like a cattle brand. Have you been on a cattle ranch?
I was just about to say, like you, that's a branding is what that is.
Yeah.
That's a deliberate, purposeful thing.
It is. And there's been calf branding going on recently, so, you know.
It's not just like, oh, no, I've spattered the oatmeal. That's a, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just make this marking here.
Hold still. Psh. Sizzler.
Yes, you don't do branding indoors.
No, you don't. You found that out the hard way, didn't you?
I wasn't involved in that. It was for a documentary series that I was working on, but I wasn't in the studio that day.
Oh, God. It smells horrible, just like in general, just so you know.
Yes.
Well, it's burning flesh, yeah.
It is burning flesh and hair.
Yeah, so
don't do that indoors.
Nope. So my professor was working on a documentary series called Jewish Cowboy, because he was talking about the Jewish people of the West and the settling of the West and everything. Mm-hmm. So he decided that a good idea for a promo would be to get a cowhide and to get a brand made in the Star of David, and then in studio to heat up that brand white hot and stick it into the cowhide.
It would look effective. However, the repercussions, not good.
That building, the entire building, not just the studio, stank of burning hair and flesh.
Yeah. Gross. But, you know, what we do for art. Yeah.
I don't even think it got used. I don't think it was usable.
No, I would imagine not. Gross.
When you said, you know, for the sake of production, he got a cowhide. Like the way you stretched out the word hide, like I thought you were going to say he got a cow high. So like you kept on talking, and then I'm sitting here picturing in my head this cow just like
he's token up a big dude, yeah.
It's the Illuminati is on the dollar bill, man. Moo and stuff.
That probably happens up in Missoula, Montana, I'm sure.
We didn't live in Missoula.
No, we did not.
They lived in Bozeman.
I know, but they do more pot in Missoula than they do in Bozeman.
What if cows are secretly super smart and we've just been feeding them weed to keep them docile?
Wait, are you high now?
No. Are you? I'm not. I'm totally fine.
Sam wants Joe to know that he is not like his dad. And Joe asks what Dean is like. Sam keys in on her interest in Dean, says that Dean regards her like a little sister, like a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And Sam seems to want a little more. He gets her hand in his.
Okay, but like looking back, knowing what I know, ew, Meg. What are you doing? I don't think she would enjoy that. I don't know.
Well, I don't even know that there's a gender of this demon.
Do demons have gender? I guess that's a good question.
Because this demon was in Meg, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was a female.
But later on, there was a comment about it being a female demon.
Well, because that's Dean's immature.
Okay, well, I know, and so am I. So, well, you know, we have similarities. It's all good. But I'm just...
Demons are bisexual. They don't care.
Well, maybe they don't. Maybe that doesn't
They're
matter.
Open-minded.
Maybe
They're,
they yeah. are. They must be. So, there you go.
So, Sam gets just a little grabby, nothing too untoward, but he's not letting go of her hand, and she needs him to go now.
He
turns to leave, and then he grabs her and manhandles her a whole bunch and knocks her out.
Yeah, that got really rapey fast.
Yeah, it did.
It did. I didn't enjoy that at all.
This is, I don't like this.
And it almost seemed like it was going there.
It looked like it was going to. I was going to have to go cut his hair or something horrible. Yeah. That's a euphemism, by the way.
I understand. I'm right there with you.
But, yeah, his main plan apparently is just to knock her out.
Yeah.
She comes to the sound of the doors. That's the band, not the door. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was a good use of that song. I mean, it worked.
And she also comes to getting tied to a pole.
That happens, you know, in Duluth. It does. That's what they do in Duluth.
So Sam gets her story of what happened to her dad while he has her at knife point.
Okay, so how does this creature know this? I mean, we didn't know who this demon was at this point. But how does this demon know all of this?
Well, I mean, in theory, there's, you know, demon word gets around.
Okay.
But possibly he was the same demon that killed or that maimed Bill, if this is all true.
Right, but then so was Dad possessed?
What?
Was the dad possessed when this all supposedly went down?
Well, no, they were hunting a hellspawn, so maybe
he's the dad didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not technically, but
yeah, so if the hellspawn they were hunting was this hellspawn that's possessing Sam,
right.
Then he'd know all about it.
That's what the episode is suggesting.
Okay.
So apparently John and Bill were hunting Hellspawn in California. Bill was the bait and John was lying in wait. According to Joe, things went bad when John jumped the gun. Bill was exposed and he got killed. Then Sam, not Sam, says that it was different.
Right.
That Bill was badly wounded and John had to put him out of his misery with a shot to the head. But after this little storytelling time, it's apparently just that Joe is going to be bait for Big Fish Dean.
Big Fish.
Big Fish Dean comes in the door just in time. At this point, Sam says he can't control himself, that Dean needs to kill him before he does anything to Joe. But Dean still refuses. Then he splashes Sam Not Sam with the holy water. That really gets the demon's attention before he jumps through the window.
Don't jump through the window.
Dean frees Joe and pursues Sam into a marina building.
Do the marina buildings really look like that?
I couldn't tell you.
What was that building full of? Was it just like crates and wooden stuff?
Yes, crates and wooden stuff. Looked like it was supposed to be like sailboat tackle and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would imagine like marining tools.
Marining tools.
Yeah, probably like harpoons and
for
stuff.
For the salmon. Harpoons for the salmon.
Salmon harpoons.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
For the loons. Who knows, right? Loons are big. You gotta be careful. They're aggressive.
Yes.
They're not aggressive at all. They're very shy.
But I don't know. I've never been up in one's face. I couldn't tell you.
No, no.
Where does crazy as a loon come from?
They make funny sounds. I don't know. That must be it. Just that they sound odd.
Okay.
And they won't let you hear them.
I thought maybe it was like they were like, you know, crazy aggressive or something.
I don't think they're really aggressive. They really stay far away. Like if they notice you getting a little bit up on the lake where Paul's family cabin used to be, we would go out in the canoe and we would just like drift and try to drift as close as we could before it would pop down. But yeah, they won't let you get very close.
Okay. Well, then it must just be the noise then, because they do make a horrible shriek that's like, what the hell?
It does sound weird. Actually, here at our home, there's a lake not too far from here. You can walk to it and you can hear the loons at night sometimes.
It's cool.
It is cool. So,
as they banter back and forth and try to shoot each other, it becomes clear that the demon has been in control all along so far. That even when we thought it was Sam, it was still the demon. The demon says it's all a test to see how far Dean could be pushed. Dean threatens that he's going to do all sorts of horrible things, but the demon points out that harming him is harming Sam. And the demon says that his plan is to take out as many hunters as he can using Sam's body and Sam's dewy eyes, I believe that he says.
Dewy eyes and bad hair.
Then the demon goes outside and Dean follows. The demon fires one shot and Dean falls off the high pier to the sound of the calling loons. There, see, I finally got to the loons in the notes.
I couldn't wait. I'm sorry. It really made me a little crazy. A little loony. What can I say?
What do you know? Jo looks for Dean, calling his cell phone, and finds him when she could hear his ringtone. He's soggy and has been shot.
Don't you think he would have died from hypothermia by then?
I don't know. What time of year is it?
Hard to say, I guess.
That's a pretty cold lake, though, so yeah.
It is really cold lake. Even in the summer, it's cold. There's no...
Yeah, the hypothermia thing, actually, that's a moot point what time of year it is. You're right.
Because people don't swim in it. I mean, really, do they?
Not really. I mean, there's beaches, and people dip their toes in it.
Dip their toes and run right back out. That's what they do. It's not a swimming lake, because it's too deep. It's too cold, so... Yeah.
Yes.
And deep, cold lakes are really cold, like, all the time. I used to water ski in a really deep, cold lake when I was a teenager, and it was a lot of motivation not to fall down.
Yes, I suppose so.
You got good fast because it was cold.
Well, Joe digs out that bullet, and she asks whether demons tell the truth as well as lie. And Dean says that they'll say whatever it takes to mess with your head. And so Joe is still wondering how much of the story is true that Sam told. Sam Demon. Demon. Sam, not Sam.
Yeah.
Sam I not am.
Sam I not am.
God. Sam I ain't.
Sam you ain't. Sam you ain't. You just don't like to eat that paint. Sorry.
At least we saved PG on that.
Oh.
Sorry.
Dean says that the demon seems to be going after hunters, and the nearest hunter he knows is in South Dakota. And we already know this is Bobby, because we remember that he's in South Dakota. At least I remembered it was Bobby.
Yay, Bobby's back!
Whee! And I gotta say, John, you really kind of Jonathaned us on Bobby, because starting out, I was like, "Yeah, he's a guy. Seems all right." Everybody else, oh, not you specifically. You and all the rest of the expert fans,
right?
Like, oh wow, he's so awesome. What do you think? What do you think of Bobby? He's so awesome, isn't he? Or like, I don't know, he's a guy.
I have an opinion of Bobby.
Okay, I have an opinion. He seems fine. He's kind of like the cable guy, but not. He's good.
But this episode, I thought, okay, yeah, he's pretty badass. So
yeah. He proved his badassiness. That doesn't sound right.
Badassery. 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 That's right.
Which goes with hadassery. I don't know.
It's like that play, the glass. It's badassery.
Something like that.
Joe insists that she wants to tag along, but Dean isn't having any of that, so she gives him some pain pills, and he says he'll call. As he leaves, Joe says that he won't. Dean tries to call Bobby and warn him, but Sam cuts the phone line and then knocks at the door, getting welcomed right in, like he said, using his dewy eyes.
Dewy eyes.
Sam tells Bobby that Dean's off with a girl somewhere and some beer.
Why?
And I gotta say, I mean, I think, I suspect Bobby is, like, just naturally suspicious anyway, but I think probably with anybody that knows these guys, both Joe earlier and Bobby now, it's like, Dean's not here, that's already something wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
You two are joined at the hip.
Yep, something's not right here. Let me go get you a beer.
And Bobby gets Sam a beer, and they toast to John. But that beer doesn't agree with the demon. Because it's been watered down with holy water, which a normal Sam wouldn't have even taken note of.
Yep. I thought that was clever. Yay, Bobby.
And Bobby knocks him out. When he comes to, Dean has arrived. They've got him under the seal. Dean splashes him with a pail of holy water, and Bobby works the exorcism mojo until the demon laughs. This demon says he's on his own, he's not following the master plan. It seems to shrug off the exorcism and take control of the situation.
What's Dean say? This isn't going the way I had planned.
Yes, yes. Bobby sees the arm burn and says that it locks the demon in. It's a binding seal. Demon makes the ceiling break apart and it voids the seal on the seal on the ceiling and allows him to attack. He goes after Dean, punching him and saying that Dean sent him to hell. It is the very same demon that possessed Meg. He says that he saw John in hell, and all the demon did while it was down there was plot to escape and torture Dean.
Mm-hmm.
But while he's taking his time out for monologuing, Bobby's been working behind his back to get a hot fireplace poker, and he burns the binding like banishes the demon instantly. Casts out the demon, I should say. It's not been banished to hell.
Yeah.
It was not a full exorcism. It was just a release.
And I thought to myself, that probably smells like the VCB.
That's the building where they branded the cowhide.
Yes. Visual Communications Building, Montana State University.
I don't think it's called that anymore.
I don't think so, no. You know, I saw a video of some, with some kids filming their skating, and it was the stairs from the VCB.
Awesome.
I know. I was like, I know those stairs. I know those. So, yeah, this is a long time ago we went there.
Yes, it was.
Anyone? How many years now?
Don't.
How many years?
Don't.
25?
20. 20. It's 21 since you graduated, 20 since I did. It would be my 20th reunion if I was going to do something like that, but they don't usually do that for college as much.
Dang, how'd you get to be so old, Paul?
Luck.
not running around with
time
demons.
And patience. Practice at being alive.
Practice at being alive. Driving safely.
Time travel the slow way.
Not drinking poison or doing drugs. Worked out well. Sorry, Paul. You're not that old.
Okay.
Compared to me.
Bobby asks them if they know Steve Wandell. Dean says he's never heard of him, but it's clear that Bobby knows exactly what's going on or what has happened. He warns them to stay clear or wind up caught in the crossfire when Wandell's friends look for the scapegoats.
Yes. Scapegoats. I love scapegoat skin coats.
Before they leave, Bobby gives them charms to ward off possession.
Okay, so what were those charms?
Why didn't he just make those for everybody and pass those out?
I know. Why didn't they have these already? I know. I thought that it would be like standard issue.
Mm-hmm.
But they must have some extra special rare ingredients inside them.
I don't know.
But it seems to, charm seems to imply that it's just a symbol that wards off possession.
Yeah, maybe it has to be made out of silver or something, but yeah, I didn't buy that so much.
You can't just get these at Hunter Mart.
No, they don't have that at Hunter
Mart. Special order.
Special order only. Shh.
And in the car, Sam says that he could see some of what happened, and he knows that Dean had refused to shoot him no matter what. And Dean insists that what he promised his dad was that he would kill him if he couldn't save him, but he'll opt to save Sam every time. So, who wins this episode, Sam versus Dean?
Well, I guess Dean has to win because Sam went and got himself possessed.
Yeah.
I guess, kind of. Honestly, I'd prefer to pick Bobby.
Yeah, can we pick Bobby?
Bobby wins.
Can we? Is that legal?
Judges?
Well, that becomes a neither. In terms of the scorecard that Yvette will update for us.
Okay. Yeah, see, like, we're going to – if the show's going to start adding characters, then we're going to have to branch out, you know, who can play.
Right.
In the competition.
I don't know. I think it's clear that it's set up that it's Sam versus Dean. It's like on Intro to X, it's Mulder versus Scully. It doesn't matter if Spender wins on occasion. It's still one of them.
Oh, all right.
It's a head-to-head competition.
Okay, fine. It's fine. It's Dean.
All right. Then we'll go with Dean.
We'll go with Dean. I would put in feedback from Yvette, but she's having trouble getting us an attachment.
We'll work on it later. We'll stick it in here.
Okay. That's what she said.
Whoa. Did she say that?
I figured Paul was going to beat me to it, and I'm just like, I'll throw this in.
Paul knows
he gets
better
there.
With me.
I just left a little space so I could put in the voicemail, but...
Hey, this is Yvette, and I am sending you guys feedback for this episode. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I would be there, except somebody hit my car, and I am currently waiting for the cops to come. So that's what I'm doing right now. This episode was really boring. I know that it was supposed to be really shocking or something, because we are watching Sam act out and be all wild and kill some people. But I mean, maybe part of the problem is that we know that this show goes on for another 35 seasons, because obviously he didn't do it. Obviously it's not him. He's either possessed or it's a shapeshifter or there's some kind of thing. And then we get the clue, of course, that he's possessed because Joe sees that thing on his arm. Meg Joe. So I don't know. I guess I just felt like Yeah, it obviously wasn't him. They were going to discover what it was. I mean, I guess we got the revelation about how Meg Jo's dad was killed, but I don't know. It was just kind of it's kind of boring. I know I wasn't supposed to be bored by it, but I was. So, yeah, anyway. I wish I could be there to discuss this one with y'all, although maybe I would just be a downer. I would give this 4 out of 10 out of nowhere stories that, you know, Sam probably shouldn't have had any access to, but I guess the demon did. Sorry, that rating system got really long. All right, hopefully I will be able to talk to you, but if not, I will talk to y'all next time.
Okay,
bye. Oh, yeah, and I forgot one more thing. My quote of the week is actually, I watched this with the subtitles on because I was watching it earlier this morning at somebody's house and they were still sleeping. So anyway, the subtitles read, this is when Sam jumps out the window. The subtitles read, demonic screeching. And I thought that that was really hilarious. So my quote is demonic screeching. Okay, bye, y'all.
Oh, dear. Too funny.
Are we ready to do a couple of quotes?
I don't have any quotes because I'm a bad writer downer.
I just have one.
Okay, go.
My daddy shot your daddy in the head.
Hey, Paul, put one on the little talky thing here for me.
You mean the chat window?
That's what I'm trying to say.
The little talky thing.
Okay, I would
apparently you ate the paint.
Well, yes, many times the lead stuff because I'm old like that. I'm sure we had lead paint in my house. There's no doubt about that.
Wait, which button do I hit to get the talkie thing? I got it.
Yeah.
Which button do I hit to get the talkie thing?
Oh God!
I can't say that one. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, what's going on with you, Sam? Like smoking, throwing bottles at people? It sounds more like me than you.
Yeah, I can't say the one you put up there, Paul. I'm sorry.
I put two up.
Oh, okay, I'll do the second one. Okay. Maybe it's not as dirty. I can't say the dirty. You can say the dirty one. Go.
Dude, you had full on like a girl inside you for a whole week. That's pretty naughty.
I can't say that.
Okay.
Okay. Dean says, yeah, you checked in 2 days ago under the name Richard Sambora. Of course. I think the scariest part of the whole thing is the fact that you're a Bon Jovi fan. Yeah, Bon Jovi.
All right. Well, that's the quotes that we have, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just hit my knee on the desk.
Oh,
it hurts.
Oh, God, it hurts.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, continue. Oh. Don't mind me, I'll just be over here slowly dying.
Oh, no, don't bleed to death. Don't bleed to death. Direct pressure. You got this.
Well, we've got a feedback. We've got an email from Heidi.
We have an email from Heidi.
You're going to have to read it.
Go get ice. Go get ice.
Okay.
This episode starts out by making you think you accidentally skipped in the middle of it.
Yeah.
There's more of a mystery element to this episode than we've seen so far in this show. The boys, and therefore the audience, have no idea what is going on. That was a pretty shocking moment when Sam knocked Dean out with a gun. It looked like he was going to use the gun on himself since Dean wouldn't do it. Yeah, I kind of thought that's what they were implying was about to happen.
I thought so, too.
Yay, Meg. Oh, I mean, Joe. I mean, I like this character, whatever her name is. I really can't remember what is happening in this episode. It seems to be a demon, but his eyes are fine. I think his eyes black out at some point.
Well, they do after they say, you're a demon. He's like, oh, yeah, you got me.
When they splash him with holy water, I think his eyes did black out there.
Yeah. But he held it together for a long time.
Yes. We get to see Bobby again and are quickly reminded how awesome he is. Or, for some of us, indicated how awesome he is for the first time.
Yeah.
That's my aside. We're quickly reminded how awesome he is. This is like a family reunion episode of Supernatural. Joe, Bobby, and Meg the Demon. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi. And we're quickly into the ratings section. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 anti-up-in-you charms.
Oh, Paul, dude. did you have to say that?
I should have said anti.
Oh, boy.
This anti up in you sounds a little different.
It does. It does. Oh,
what
boy.
Are you doing?
I don't know.
Don't double down.
Oh, gosh, Paul. Shh. Stop. Stop talking.
I like that it was the exact same Meg demon, if you want to call it a Meg demon. Of course, Meg was the innocent in that whole situation.
But, right.
I like that it was the same demon. I like that that it was basically working on its own. He says that he doesn't care what the master plan is, or the demon. It says that it doesn't care what the master plan is. It's just out to get the guys.
Okay.
And I like that it moved along. I like the pacing and that it had a bunch of different settings.
Mm-hmm.
So, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
What I said.
Yeah.
Before.
Wow.
I like this episode too. The probably my favorite thing about it is that, you know, normally we get episodes like this that are all about building the plot mythology, and this is building upon character mythology,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice change of pace. And then there's some really good drama going on here. So I'm going to give this one 8 out of 10 slug bugs.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it was, I liked bits and pieces of it, but a lot of it, I was like, oh God, here we go again. I really felt like, let's get on with this. Let's really get going. And it started to, but then it would like stop it. I had a hard time with the pace, I guess. So for me, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 misplaced loons.
All right. And Yvette would give us an average, but I don't have it in front of me.
Well,
and I don't even know her rating.
We'll put that all in later.
Somehow, yes.
Yvette says.
You know what quote I'm surprised no one used?
What's that?
The thing about Justin Timberlake. Oh, yes, he really is the triple threat.
Oh, that's a dog. I was freaking out for a second. I'm like, Paul, are you okay?
No, that's great. That's my dog, Gracie. She wants me to pet her.
Gracie.
She's laying on the bed and I can't reach her.
Nobody love you, Gracie. Oh, poor baby. Hey, remember you guys are supposed to be...
Oh, it's okay. We're almost done.
We're almost done.
John, what is our homework for next week?
For
I'm sorry.
Oh, I just want to give her a hug. Sweet pup.
And sweetie, I can't reach you.
You need to go to her, John. Go to the dog. Go to the dog.
I can't do a commentary and pet and rub her belly at the same time.
Well, what is wrong with you? What kind of dad dog are you? Dog dad. Yeah.
I have short arms. That's what
short
I am.
Arms. Oh, poor puppy.
Okay. Next week's homework is season 2, episode 15, Tall Tales.
And
somebody has their own tall tales that they're telling right now, don't they?
And assuming that everybody can keep their vehicles intact, we should be doing a commentary episode for that.
When are we doing the commentary? Do we know yet? Or are we still working on that?
We'll talk about that off pod in a second.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Okay. My predictions. For some reason, I can't remember any tall tales from the past. I can remember Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox.
What's the one about the guy with the railroad guy? What's him? John Casey?
John Henry?
John Henry. That's what I'm thinking of.
He's not exactly a tall tale.
John Casey was Adam Baldwin's character in
Chuck.
Well,
I get mixed, all right? I've got issues. You know that. What other tall tales do we know?
I can't remember any of them. I mean, I know there's some that are from out west that are western ones that aren't necessarily Paul Bunyan ones. So Paul Bunyan's more of the North Woods here.
Hmm.
Wouldn't it be neat if it was a really big things thing?
Ooh.
You know, like Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox coming to life.
That'd be awesome.
Like
yeah,
like the one they have in Bemidji, like the actual giant. Okay, it's okay. That's me and really big things coming out, but you know.
I know. No,
why sure climb
cool.
into my spoon?
Yes, it'd be really cool. You know, big giant chef or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, the happy chef coming to life. Oh, I want to see really big things
but
done.
What
by
are some of the other tall tales?
Tall Tales. Yeah, I just...
I mean, all the ones I can think of are, like, slightly based in reality, too. Because, like...
Yeah, like John Henry.
John Henry, Annie Oakley. What else?
Like I said, there's a Western one that's kind of like a you know, it's a character that's like a Paul Bunyan character, but it's a Western thing, and I can't remember what that character is.
Yeah, hold on here. I'm gonna look at this up.
Don't look up Tall Tales.
I'm gonna.
You might accidentally get spoiled.
Well, I'm not gonna get spoiled on that.
You might.
I won't.
You might. Good.
It'll be fine.
You're going to go to the Wikipedia, and it's going to say, this character was used in a bunch of Tall Tales.
By
the way, it's also featured in Supernatural.
Tall Tales.
Don't. You're going to get spoiled.
Tall Tales is a story with unbelievable elements related as if it were true or factual. Some
Indeed.
Stories. I'm going to go to the wiki on this. I think it's
no,
safe.
You could get spoiled.
I'm not going to. It's safe. It's safe.
Okay.
It's safe.
Okay.
It's far enough removed. No, just stop it.
Hey, I know Wikipedia. At the bottom it says, you know, used in other culture, and it says that this was used in this and that.
It's so good. I'm not finding very many American Tall Tales. There we go.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Non sequitur, Babe the Blue Ox, Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed was kind of based in fact, though. John
yeah,
Appleseed
I know, but that's what they say, is they're generally loosely based in fact. Tony Beaver. he is a West Virginia lumberjack who's a cousin of Paul Bunyan. Pecos Bill is a legendary...
Pecos Bill.
Yep, yep.
Pecos Bill was who I was thinking of.
Jim Bowie?
Partially based in reality.
I guess so. Cordwood Pete is a younger brother to Paul Bunyan. Daniel Boone...
It's partially based in reality.
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
And he eats 50 pancakes in 1 minute, just so you know. Davy Crockett. Mike Fink.
Mike Fink is the other one I was thinking of, too.
Toughest boatman on the Ohio and Mississippi rivers.
Yeah, Mike Fink. I know that one.
Yep. John Henry. Calamity Jane. Casey Jones. Casey Jones is one. See, I was right.
You didn't say Casey Jones, you said John Casey.
John Casey. I got confused. They're both railroad ones.
You didn't say John Jones.
Well,
that's something else.
Yeah. Chuck Norris. Hey, seriously, it came up here, all right?
Okay.
Molly Pitcher.
Okay. Well, in any case, I hopefully we see some element of some of these colorful tales come to life.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm still hoping for Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, though.
They're the most popular ones, I think, don't you?
Well, we live in Minnesota.
Well, I know that, but I think even, like, when I was a kid, that was one of the bigger ones. Not just, like, big, but, like, you know.
There was a kid in my elementary school that'd say, hey, what's your name? And I'd say, Paul, and he'd suck me in the gut and say, Bunyan. Not hard. He wouldn't, like, suck me in the gut that I get doubled over in pain, but...
How many times did it take you to learn not to say your name?
When he asked me?
Yeah.
I still don't say my name.
You still don't say your name? Oh, Paul, I'm so sorry.
What's your name? It's...
I can't tell you.
I'm a guy.
I'm just that guy. I can't tell you my name. She'll hit me in the stomach.
Okay, well, it's a gorgeous day out there.
Yes, it is. Off we go.
So we've gotten our homework. It's time to go to the closing theme.
Yay! Sorry, miss y'all.
All right, so I'll say it to everybody. Happy hunting.
Bye. Bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadruppleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from QuadrupleZ.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at QuadrupleZ.com. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at Facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, C-Y-A-N-F-E-Y Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an intro cast for the television series Slings and Arrows at QuadrupleZ.com.